Psalms of Beauty and Wonder.
Yes.
All right, let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you for your grace, which is unending, that you care for the universe, you care for the earth, you care for our mankind, and you care for each of us. Help us to understand your word and your truth and rightly worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, this morning we are continuing our study in Psalms of Beauty and Wonder. We've done three lessons on Psalms of Beauty and Wonder, particularly with regard to nature, the creation of God, the beauty and order which he has placed in the earth and in the universe. And then we've done one on man. Now, nature, God created to praise and worship him, and it does that. God created man to praise and worship him too. And that's a bit more mixed message, because sometimes men worship God and sometimes they don't. Sometimes men do what God created them to do and sometimes they don't. And we see this throughout these Psalms. When we look at the Psalms of the creation of man, it gets more complicated, really, than on just nature itself. Nevertheless, we will continue this study. Previously, we had looked at, on man, Psalms 8, and let's see, we did Psalm 94 and 95, Psalm 100, Psalm 111. Probably I'm missing some. But this morning we're working into Psalm 121, Psalm 139. And this last series of Psalms right at the beginning, end of the Psalms. And so we will start this morning together with reading aloud the introductory verses or the theme verses and together. And also the statement from the Westminster Confession. All right, if you would read together, then, the earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. O Lord, how many are your works? In wisdom you have made them all. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him all his angels. Praise him all his hosts. Praise him sun and moon. Praise him all stars of light. Praise him highest heavens and the waters that are above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And then from the Westminster Confession. It pleased God the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost for the manifestation of the glory of his eternal power, wisdom, and goodness in the beginning to create or make of nothing the world and all things therein, whether visible or invisible, in the space of 6 days, and all very good. God, the creator of all things, doth uphold, direct, dispose, and govern all creatures, actions, and things, from the greatest even to the least, by his most wise and holy providence, according to his infallible foreknowledge and the free and immutable counsel of his own will, to the praise of the glory of his wisdom, power, justice, goodness, and mercy. That's a lot. And we see all of these themes displayed in these Psalms. Now we're starting with Psalm 121, which we've been reading this scripture from Psalm 21 continually. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And when you look at the great mountains, it's just amazing how we are moved by the beauty when we look at the sea, when we look at the sunrise and the sunset. As we have seen, that shout for joy to God every day. When we look at these things, we're not just looking at the mountains to worship the mountains. We're looking at the mountains to worship the God who created them. Now, this is a short psalm. It's a hymn of praise to God, and it begins with this profound statement of faith. Where shall my help come from? The beauty, the wonder of the mountain tells me it comes from the creator of that mountain, and that's God. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So let's read Psalm 121. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. The psalmist looks on the mountain and thinks about it. That's grand. That's beautiful. That's majestic. Who created that? God. And that same God who created everything we see around us is the God who is our helper. My help comes from the Lord. That's the Lord God Jehovah. The Lord God Jehovah, creator of all. My help comes from that God. My help. And then the Lord, psalmist turns this to us. Not only is he my help, he is your help. And so what do we see emphasized in this psalm? This God, who is the creator of all things, is your help. He is the one who will not allow your foot to slip. He is the one who keeps you. He governs the entire universe, but he also governs you. He keeps and sustains you. He won't slumber. He doesn't need sleep. You do. He keeps you as you sleep. And he keeps Israel. He keeps you. He keeps me, he keeps you, he keeps Israel. He will neither slumber nor sleep. He's on guard. At all times. The Lord is what? Your keeper. Repeats again. Your keeper. The Lord is your shade. That's important. In a land where there's a lot of sun. The Lord is your shade. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. The Lord will keep your soul. You. This great God who governs the entire universe, who created all beautifully, wonderfully, in all his wisdom and power, is concerned about who? You. He will keep you. He will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. He will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. And so this great God, ruler and sustainer of the entire universe, who calls all the stars by name, will keep you, guard you, protect you, and help you. He's my help. My help comes from the Lord. Your help comes from the Lord. And He is faithful and able. Short song, but it's profound. And of course, it's part of this entire structure, as we have seen, of the Psalms, of God, the governor of the universe, God, the creator of all, God, my creator. And we see that emphasized, God, my creator, in Psalm 139. This is a beautiful psalm. We probably all know the scripture on this, from this, that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, the scripture teaches us God created us, male and female He created us, in His own image and likeness He created us. And we've been talking about that. You know, it's because God thinks, and He created us in His own image, that we think. Because God speaks, we speak. It's because God loves that we can love. We are created in the image and the likeness of God. And we are created by God. We're taught everything by Him. Everything we know comes from God. As we saw in Psalm 94. God is the teacher of the nations. God teaches the nations knowledge. All of our understanding comes from God. Well, let's look at this. The greatness of God, the omniscience of God, the omnipotence of God, we see declared here. And the omnipresence of God. Psalm 139. This is a psalm of David, by the way. So I'm going to read Psalm 139. O Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, You know it all. You know what I'm going to say before I say it. The scripture, of course, tells us that God knows the end from the beginning. He knows all. You have enclosed me behind and before. You have laid Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. How it is that God can know everything about everybody, even their thoughts, before they think them, all the time. That's beyond our grasp. Where can I go from Your spirit? Where can I flee from Your presence? If I ascend to heaven, You are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, You are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the seas, even there Your hand will lead me and Your right hand will lay hold on me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me and the light around me will be night. Even the darkness is not dark to You. And the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to You. We can't hide from God. For You formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to You, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are Your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from You when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance. And in Your book were written all the days that were ordained for me. Before they occur, already recorded. When as yet there was not one of them. How precious are Your thoughts to me, O God. How precious are your thoughts? We've seen the psalmist in Psalm 8 and other passages thinking about God, thinking about him. And that's what we see again here. How precious are your thoughts? Your thoughts about me, to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them? If I could count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I am awake, I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, men of bloodshed. For they speak against you wickedly, and your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with the utmost hatred. They have become my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me. And lead me in the everlasting way. A very profound psalm. It's very intimate with God thinking about, planning, ordaining all the days of my life, creating me in my mother's womb, designing me so that the psalmist can declare, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So we see this psalm is divided into several parts. First of all, the psalmist begins by declaring God's knowledge of all the acts and thoughts of every man, even before they occur. In the first few verses here, 1 through 6, we see the psalmist mentioning, God, you know everything about me. You understand my thought. You watch what I do. You scrutinize my path, even my lying down. You are intimately acquainted with all my ways. God, you know everything about me. About me, personally. About me. And this is true for everyone. It wasn't true just for David. It's true for all. God knows everything about each of us. There are certain things we wouldn't want God to know about us, but he knows. He knows everything. And God is there watching over all that I do. So the psalmist can declare, that's just beyond me, that you can know everything, not only about me, but about everyone, that you can somehow manage all of that knowledge. How do you do it? I don't know. It's beyond our ability to grasp. You know, God has revealed certain things about himself to us in his word, in the creation, which speaks about God, his majesty, his glory. But there's a lot about God we cannot comprehend. And this is one of those things. How it is God can know everything, even every thought of every man, all the time. That's, I think, not possible for us to even begin to grasp. And then the psalmist, in the next few verses, goes on and talks about God not only knows everything about me, he's there wherever I go. I can't flee from God. I can't get away from God. I can try. Jonah, I'm sure, was familiar with this passage. And he tried, and he showed that it didn't work. But Jonah knew what was going on. You know, he said, when God brought the great storm, he said, look, I serve this God who created everything, who knows everything, and governs everything, and I know I can't get away from him. Silly for me to try. You might as well just throw me overboard. At least I would be there in God's hand, and God sees, and he can do whatever he wants to with me there. And then you'll be free from the judgment he's brought upon me. So, you're not responsible for this, Jonah said, I am. And of course, they threw Jonah overboard, and then the sea was quiet. But Jonah was in the sea. And we know what happened from there. And so, where can I go from your spirit? Is there any way we can, anywhere we can get away from go up, the psalmist says? If I could ascend to heaven, or Sheol, the ends of the earth, farthest extent of the seas, or maybe hide in the dark. Not going to work with God. Darkness is bright as the light of day to him. He sees everything. And he's there. Where can I flee from your spirit? Where are you not, God? God is imminent in his creation. God is not the creation. The creation is different from God. We don't worship the creation. But God is there with his creation by his spirit. And wherever we go, we can say, the Lord is with me. Not be with me to judge me, or with me to bless me, but God is there. We cannot get away from God. He knows everything we do, and he knows everywhere we go, and he's there watching what we do. We cannot flee from God. And then the next section, the psalmist talks about his creation. His personal creation by God. And so we have it there. You formed my inward parts. You wove me together in my mother's womb. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You planned all my days. You wrote them in your book before there were any of them. That's pretty amazing. That's awesome. It's a little scary. And God is so in control of our lives that he already wrote down the days of our lives before they ever occurred. And so, what do we do with that? The psalmist just says, you know, wow. That's paraphrase. Wow. How precious are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. The idea, God, that you know everything I do, that you watch everything you do, you see everything I do, you're there with me wherever I am. You even created me according to your plan and design and planned out all the days of my life. Wow. Your planning of me and for me blows me away, we would say. How precious are your thoughts to me, O God? How vast is the sum of them? I could count them. They would outnumber the sand when I'm awake. Dreaming about counting, not counting sheep, but counting God's thoughts. When I'm awake, when I wake up from my dream, I'm still with you. You're still there, ruling and governing everything. Now, this next passage here, where psalmist asks God to judge the wicked men, hating the wicked perfectly, may seem incongruous with the rest of the passage, but in fact it's not. Because since the psalmist knows God is absolutely in control of all things, knows all things, created him personally, how could anyone who knows this, thinks about this, even seek to rebel against God? He is creator. And not only rebel against God as creator, but these are men of bloodshed who have shed innocent lives, who have assaulted the creation of God, men made in the image and the likeness of God, evildoers who have taken the life of those whom God fearfully and wonderfully made. who have attacked the creation and the Creator. And David rightly says, those men I do what? I hate. Do I not? I hate them with a perfect hatred. Men of bloodshed. And he asked for God to bring judgments upon them. I hate them with the utmost hatred. They have become my enemies. Oh, that you would slay them, O God. Oh, that you would slay the wicked men, men of bloodshed, who have attacked men and shed the blood of men made in the image and the likeness of God. The psalmist does not, however, condemn the wicked as if he is perfectly righteous. Because he ends it how? What does the psalmist say here at the end of the psalm? Yeah, I want you to judge the wicked men of bloodshed, who have taken the lives of innocent men. But I know I'm not altogether pure. I know I'm asking you to judge the wicked, but I know judgment begins in the house of God, right? So start here. Start with me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So the psalmist asks for God to show him his sins and where he's caused harm, and bring him to repentance. We see a similar passage, you know, there in Psalm 19. Keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. And so this is a very balanced psalm, but very enlightening about God's creation and care intimately for each one of us. Psalm 21, the Lord is my help. The Lord is your protector, your guard, your Savior. Here we have an emphasis upon God is your creator. God designed you. God watches everything you do, knows and watches everything you do. All of us. All of us. And in this psalm, we have emphasized God created each one of us, planned all of our days. Think about that. How precious are your thoughts? Think about God thinking about us. Is this awesome or what? Okay, the last group of psalms, and this brings us to the end of this study on Psalms of Beauty and Wonder. And I've divided up these, starting with Psalm 144, to the end of the psalms. We've already looked at Psalms 147 and 148 that mentions all of creation praises God. Of course, then we get to the psalms about, yeah, but what about men? Again, that's a more mixed bag. And so I have, you know, titled here Psalm 144 through Psalm 148. But we've already considered 147, 148. So I'm not going to go back through those. But this series of psalms, 144, 145, 146, 147, 148. All of these discuss, mention, are based upon God as creator and man in relation to God as his creator. And these are all glorious. They are just grand declarations of God's goodness and wisdom and power and the beauty of his creation and his creation of man. And I compared these two. Of course, you know, probably most of you did fireworks on July 4th. These psalms are glorious. These are the capstone, I think, of all the psalms, intentionally, at the end. And they're kind of like the grand finale to the fireworks, where it's just the final glorious display. Throw everything in. In these psalms. Now, one of the interesting things in comparison to fireworks is they're still here. They don't go away. They're continuing glorious display of the grandeur and wisdom and power and mercy of God. And I can tell you, just reading through these again and again and again for many, many years, I can only give you an introduction to them. These are something which we can continue to explore and meditate upon the rest of our lives. There is a great depth of wisdom and knowledge here in these particular psalms. So it may seem like a lot, but we're going to go through Psalm 144, 145, 146, and then the final two psalms, 149 and 150. Those are the simplest. But let's begin in Psalm 144. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle, my loving kindness and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield and him in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me. O Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him, or the son of man that you think of him? Man is like a mere breath. His days are passing like a passing shadow. Bow your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they may smoke. Flash forth lightning and scatter them. Send out your arrows and confuse them. Stretch forth your hand from on high. Rescue me and deliver me out of the great waters, out of the hand of aliens, whose mouths speak deceit, whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song to you, O God, upon a harp of 10 strings. I will sing praises to you, who gives salvation to kings, who rescues David, his servant, from the evil sword. Rescue me and deliver me out of the hand of aliens, whose mouths speak deceit, and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. Let our sons in their youth be as grown-up plants, our daughters as corner pillars fashioned as for a palace. Let our garners be full, furnishing every kind of produce, and our flocks bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our fields. Let our cattle bear without mishap, without loss. Let there be no outcry in our streets. How blessed are the people who are so situated. How blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. The Lord God Jehovah. And so we have, again, mentioning God's creation of man. O Lord, what is man? In this psalm where David's talking about God bringing deliverance in battle, similar to Psalm 18, he emphasizes here man. Man, what is man? As we see in Psalm 8. And, O Lord, verse 3, what is man that you take knowledge of him, or the son of man that you think of him? Man is like a mere breath. His days are like a passing shadow. Why would you be concerned with man who is here and gone? Similar to Psalm 90, where we have the discussion of the brevity of man's life. And so this psalm brings in many, many themes. It's about God's deliverance for Israel and God's blessing for Israel under David's leadership. But it's about God, the creator of man, why would you care for man? Well, God cares for man because he created man. He created man in his own image and likeness. Created them to have glory and honor, right? In the earth. Created him to exercise dominion in the earth. Created him to do God's work. Created him to live righteously before God. Created him to worship God. Created him to love one another. Man created is the, in a sense, the apex of God's creation. Differently from all other creation, man alone is created in the image and the likeness of God. And what is man? That you would take knowledge of him. We saw in Psalm 139, God intimately knows everything about every man. Why is it? What is man that you would think about him, that you would actually come down? Of course, we can't flee from God's Spirit, as we saw. God is with us. And God here is mentioned, similar to Psalm 18, God condescending, God coming down to become involved in our concerns, in our battles, and our daily struggles. The Lord is my help. Even though he knows I'm a passing breath, he still cares for me. And brings enormous blessings to us. In our battles, we don't have all the battles of David, but we have plenty of them. And David rightly says, you know, I'm going to praise you. You bring salvation. You rescue me. You delivered me out of the hand of the aliens. You blessed Israel. You brought peace and prosperity. How blessed are the people who are so situated. How blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. Psalm 145. I will extol you, my God, O King, I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and highly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. Of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wonderful works, I will meditate. Men shall speak of the power of your awesome acts, and I will tell of your greatness. They shall eagerly utter memory of your abundant goodness, and will shout joyfully of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all, and his mercies are over all his works. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord. And your godly ones shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk about your power to make known to the sons of men your mighty acts and the glory of the majesty of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord sustains all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you. And you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his deeds. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. The Lord keeps all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praises of the Lord, and all flesh will bless his holy name forever and ever. Here we see again emphasized, God created everything and sustains everything. This psalm, similar to Psalm 11, is an emphasis upon studying God's great works, meditating upon God's power, upon his wisdom, particularly in the creation, and in his providences that he brings to us, his deliverances. As we see here of the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wonderful works, I will meditate. I will think about the wonder and beauty of your creation. The moon and the stars, the sun, the mountains, the flowers, the trees, the daily provision that God brings for every living thing. Similar to Psalm 104, the eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. God, we are all dependent upon you. And you are capable and faithful to supply what we need. And he goes on to describe the character of God. This great Lord God, Jehovah, is righteous. He is kind. He is near. He is saving. He is keeping. And he is holy. God is the great creator and sustainer of all. The eyes of all look to you. Let's say that together. The eyes of all look to you. All creation does this. All nature does this. Praises God constantly, the scripture says. We are the ones who may not properly praise God. That's why we need to think about these things. We need to think about the wonder and beauty of God's creation. We need to meditate on all his works. And if we think about it rightly, we will, with the psalmist, bless his holy name forever and ever. Psalm 146. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord while I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not trust in princes, in mortal man in whom there is no salvation. By the way, this is a psalm of David. So that would include him. Do not trust in princes, in mortal man in whom there is no salvation. His spirit departs. He returns to the earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. How blessed is he whose help is in the God of Jacob, and whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. How blessed is he whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord, and notice these are all capitalized. This is the Lord God Jehovah. Loves the righteous. The Lord protects the strangers. He supports the fatherless and the widow. He thwarts the way of the wicked. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. Or from the Hebrew, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Lord. Notice here again. Who is this God who keeps faith forever and executes justice and gives food and delivers the prisoners and opens the eyes of the blind and loves the righteous, protects the stranger, supports the fatherless and the widow, who thwarts the ways of the wicked and who reigns forever? Who is this God? He is God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them. We see God's wisdom, power, glory, majesty, beauty in all he created. We are to learn from that, that God is faithful and powerful and able to deliver. He keeps faith. He keeps faith forever. He who makes the sun rise and set every day, who waters his earth. You may water your garden. God waters his earth. He keeps faith. He is faithful. This God, we can see his faithfulness, his power, his wisdom, the beauty of God's works around us every day. And we're supposed to see them. And we're supposed to think about it. It's this God who is able and caring to deliver us. We are to hope and trust in God who made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever. God, our great creator, is a God of care and justice who provides for the needy, delivers the oppressed, and judges the wicked. And how does the psalmist respond to this? Praise the Lord! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. Psalm 149 and 150. We already talked about Psalms 147, 148. They are about, you know, all of nature God ordains, controls, blesses, and all of nature praises God. Psalm 149, Psalm 150, then, okay, yeah, but what about men? If we are to praise God, how do we go about it? And Psalm 149, 150 talk about means by which we can praise God. They're very short, but it gives us just some examples. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. And his praise in the congregation of the godly ones. Let Israel be glad in his maker. The maker, the creator. Let the sons of Zion rejoice in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing. Let them sing praises with timbrel and lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the afflicted ones with salvation. Let the godly ones exalt in glory. Let them sing for joy on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the judgment written. This is the honor for all his godly ones. Praise the Lord. So Psalm 49, how can you praise God, this great creator? Well, with a new song, with dancing, singing, with a timbrel and the lyre, singing for joy, even upon your bed, with the high praises of God in your mouth and a two-edged sword in your hand. Now, do you think about worshiping God with a sword? This psalm was probably written as Israel was restored to the land from Babylon. Jay actually mentioned this the other day about Nehemiah. Well, I think it's in his, he mentioned it in his article. You know, Israel, as they were rebuilding the temple, restoring the walls, kept swords with them. And as the temple was restored, finally, by standing up against the enemies of Israel, this psalm and probably the next one were written probably at this time. Finally, we are restored. We're back in the land of Israel. We can freely worship God. And we have to fight for it. And that's part of the only reason we have the ability to worship. Because we fought for it. And so this one is pretty impressive. Psalm 150, even shorter. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty expanse. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with a trumpet. Praise Him with a harp and lyre. Praise Him with timbrel and dancing. Praise Him with stringed instruments and pipe. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. How are you going to praise the God? Well, you can praise Him in the temple. Yeah, you know, it's established for that. But don't stop there. Go outside. Praise Him in the mighty expanse.
Amen.
And you know, we don't know exactly what was in the psalmist's mind here. Is he thinking, is this an antiphonal phrase? We're going to sing and the angels sing in response. We sing in response. Is this the angels singing in the mighty expanse? Or is this just going outside? You know, this Psalm 121, by the way, I didn't mention, but I have it. It was one of the Song of Ascents. You know, as Israel was in the feasts, as they were going toward Jerusalem, they would sing these psalms. As a priest went up the steps to the temple, they would stop on each step and sing those 15 psalms, each one, as they went into the temple. And so there was a practice for Israel singing and praising God in the expanse, in outside, not just within the temple. And I think that's part of what is being declared here. But anyway, in this psalm, how should we praise God? You know, well, just with everything you've got. With dance, timbrel, and lyre, with glory. Here we have a long list. Trumpets, harp, lyre, timbrel, dance, stringed instruments, pipes. That is all out. All our instruments, everything we've got, use it to praise God. And it should be really enthusiastic with loud and resounding cymbals, bang, praising God. And what's the conclusion to all of this study? I have it there at the end of your outline. It's there at the end of the psalm. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And let's say that together. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. And that's all I've got. If that's not enough, can't do anything else for you.